ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2 as we're continuing our in-depth study of this letter that Paul wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy. And if you remember from our last study, we looked at prayer and the importance of prayer. We saw the role of men in the church, that they're to be leaders, be examples for others to follow in what they were doing, prayer. This morning, we're going to skip over verses 9 through 15 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. I was hoping that the women's study would cover this, that the women would be gone, but they're here. So I guess I'm going to have to deal with this. I asked Steve if he would put chicken wire up, but he didn't do that for me. So it's very controversial because people don't understand what's being said, and they come to really faulty conclusions. And here's the thing. It's only controversial if you don't believe that the Word of God is inspired by God and it's profitable for us. And if you're a Bible-believing Christian, and hear to what Paul says here in chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, what happens many times is you're going to be called a sexist, a chauvinist, a bigot, an anti-feminist, and, you know, the list goes on and on and on and on. And because of that, people have moved away from the traditional and historic interpretation of these verses. They've changed them to fit the times we're living in. They feel that by doing this, they're improving on society and elevating women to the place they need to be in society. Now, let me ask you this. If God is Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, and he knows everything, and he knows what's best for our lives, do you think he's going to mess up on this? Absolutely not. What we've done is because we've altered it, we've messed up. We haven't improved on what God has said. In fact, we've corrupted it. And look at what's going on today. Look at the disorder, not only in the church, but in the family, because we're not adhering to what God has said. And I realize some may say, you know, Pastor Joe, is this really such a big deal? I mean, we're living in the 21st century. Times have changed. And thus, women's role in the church has changed as well. What's the big deal if a woman's a pastor? Here's why it's important. Remember what Paul is writing Timothy about, how we are to conduct ourselves in the church. In fact, Paul wanted Timothy to stay there in Ephesus to correct some of the problems that had come into the church. And he wants them to get back to the biblical principles, move back to what God has said, what God desires for them, because it's what's best for their lives. And God has established these things, and that's what makes it important. And the reason we can't change what he said is because, for those of you who are old enough, Father knows best, right? Just the way it is. But here's the problem. We all have ideas on what's right and what's wrong. We need to stick to what God has said, not go by our feelings. Because it really doesn't matter what I think, what you think. It matters what God has said. God is the one who's created the church, correct? So doesn't he have the right to tell the church what to do? Absolutely. I told you, this is very controversial. The church is not the invention of man. Again, it's the creation of God. And thus, because we're not adhering to what God has said, there's much disorder within the church. And that includes the roles of men and women in the church. God is a God of order. And when you don't listen to what he's saying, then you're in rebellion against him. And if you're rebelling against the Lord, guess what? You're listening to someone else. And if it's not God, then it's the devil. One writer said this. He said, when opinions and convictions suddenly undergo dramatic alteration, although nothing new has been discovered and the only thing that has dramatically changed is the spirit of the age, it is difficult to avoid the conclusion that the spirit has had an important role to play in the shift. We have let the spirit of this age, not the spirit of God, guide us in what the church function is all about, the role of men and women in the church. And again, it's not a good thing. The Bible defines the order of the church, not dead theologians or living theologians or the spirit of this age. And if we want what's best for the church, if we want what's best for society, we're going to obey God. And please understand, between men and women, it's not a matter of superiority and inferiority. It's a matter of authority and submission. When the church submits to God's word and functions willingly and joyfully in the roles that God has ordained, the church is unified. It's blessed. It's effective. Again, that's what Paul talked about regarding this letter. If I'm detained, you may know how people ought to conduct themselves in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and stay, the prop and support of the truth. There it is. You know, if the church moves away from the truths of God found in the Word of God, you've taken away the supporting structure of the church of life. And so this morning, like it or not, I've called our study Role for Women. And I've broken down the verses like this, and they're in your bulletins. Proper dress in 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 through 10. Be submissive, 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 through 14. And the blessing in 1 Timothy 2, verse 15. So let's pick up 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 9. And let's see what the Lord has for us this morning as we study His word and look at this topic, role for woman. Paul wrote this, "In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." Please understand, when Paul opens up, he says, "In like manner also that the women," he's saying, look, guys, just as I've commanded the men how to conduct themselves in the local church service, that they are to be men of prayer, so now I command the women and how they're to conduct themselves in the local church service as well. And there's in this section, there's a couple points. The first one, dress modestly and then act submissively. And we'll pick up that second point in our next couple verses. But let's talk about proper dress. Now, here's the thing, and this irritates people. Are you kidding me? You're going to let this guy, Paul, tell me how I'm supposed to dress in church? You're going to let a man tell me what I'm supposed to look like? Again, a very controversial subject, and many avoid it or change what Paul has said to fit the culture. But the church is never to be guided by the world or culture, but by the Word of God. And so Paul, in writing these words, is writing them through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And thus, these are the words of God for women in the church. It's not what Paul felt women should do. And what Paul is saying is that a godly woman would never want to dress in a provocative way so as to be seductive and stumble men in the church. Now, I'm not saying that you have to wear, you know, a garment from head to toe covering yourself. That's not what Paul's talking about. But we don't come to church to impress people. We come to church, why? To worship God. You see, we lose that focus. It's not how we're dressed. Where is our heart? Is our heart here to worship God? So what's the bottom line? How are women to dress? To see if you're dressed properly, this is an easy way to do it. Put Jesus in the seat next to you. And if you're uncomfortable, then you're not wearing the right clothing. If you're comfortable with Jesus sitting next to you, because he is, he's sitting next to all of us, then you're fine. See, it's as simple as that. We try to make this really difficult, and it's not. Are we interested in honoring God? And yeah, of course we are, and the way you dress really testifies of that fact. And it's not a suggestion. This is a command by Paul. He commanded the men to pray, and he commanded women to dress in a manner that is fitting to worship God. In fact, the word adorn is a Greek word, cosmeo, and it's a word we get our English word, obviously, cosmetic from. And it basically means to put in order, to arrange. Think about that. J. Vernon McGee, during his day, had people that were very upset because women were wearing makeup in the church. And, you know, J. Vernon McGee with his southern drawl, and he told this woman, he said, "Madam, if the barn needs to be painted, paint it." It's hard to argue that point, you know? But what you are wearing on the outside is a reflection of what's going on the inside. So how are women to dress for church? In modest apparel. Is it moderate? Very simple. Propriety, on the other hand, asks, is it appropriate for the occasion? Is it going to draw attention to me? Are you wearing something so wild that people are watching you, or men are watching you because of little that you are wearing? You know, Julie and I love going on vacation and getting away, and we always go to warmer weather because it's cold here in Wisconsin. And we're in Fort Lauderdale, and then we're in Galveston, Texas. And I'm telling you, you know, when I was a kid, if someone gave you a wedgie, that was a bad thing. Now women are wearing bathing suits that are wedgies all the time. Is that appropriate to wear? No. And that's outside in the world for everyone to see. But when we start bringing fashions like that into the church, that's a problem. You know, modest apparel. And I'm not saying we have to dress, you know, like the Amish, like they did 100 years ago. Because styles always change. But are we wearing things that are modest, that aren't revealing and showing everyone everything that we have? I think it's important we take that into consideration. Peter in 1 Peter 3, verses 3 through 4 dealt with this. He said, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. You see, it's not what we're wearing out here. It's what's going on inside. Are we building up the inward person? Because then what you wear outwardly is reflecting what's going on in your heart. But in our society, we tend to do the exact opposite. We focus on outward beauty, the adorning of skimpy clothes, lots of jewelry. Think about it. The plastic surgery industry is a multi-billion-dollar industry. And I'll tell you, I'm real happy with the size of my lips right now. I don't want them bigger, okay? But, please, don't get me wrong, cosmetic surgery for some, yeah, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But I'll tell you what, I'll give you a little secret. We're all getting old. We're all going to get wrinkles. We're all getting gray hair, some of us. Some of us can fix that. It's just the way it is. And there is a beauty to that. But we've lost sight of that. You know, if we spent more time in God's Word and spending time with Him than putting on makeup or whatever, we do a lot better. That's what Paul says in verse 10 here of 1 Timothy 2, which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Spend time with the Lord. I mean, in Proverbs 31:30, we're told, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. Does he nail that? Yeah. You know, I don't look like I did when I was 18. I mean, I was 6'2". No, I wasn't 6'2". But I don't look like I did when I was 16. We're getting older. We're changing. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. There it is. There's the key. But women are bombarded today with all kinds of bizarre and many times vulgar fashions. You know, women have to be careful, Christian women, not to let the pagan culture dictate their fashion or the way that they dress. I don't know if you've seen some of these fashion shows where these people are wearing the most bizarre stuff. They're wearing, I don't know, goofy things. It's like, who in the world would wear that? I guess they are, but do we have to be like the world? You see, we should be the ones that are setting the example for others to follow. But we let the world guide us. Now, here's the thing. We have to be careful as we judge people. Someone coming through the door, the way that they're dressed, do you know if they're a Christian or not? I've seen it before where, not here, but people who come through the door dressed very, I'll use the word seductively, it's very revealing, and they're asked to leave. But they don't know the Lord. Their dress is just the way they feel is comfortable. And now you've taken that person who's coming to hear God's word away. So we have to be very careful in how we deal with this. You know, I had a friend years ago that was going to a friend's funeral, and it was at a church, and she was wearing pants, and they wouldn't let her in because she needed to wear a dress. And their solution was they were going to give her a choir robe to wear. Yeah, exactly. That's kind of how she felt. She wasn't able to go in. I mean, really, do you want to go to a funeral wearing a choir robe? I don't think so. For the unbeliever, let's give the Holy Spirit some time to get a hold of their heart. Because the whole idea is to see them saved. And He'll change them. We want to clean everyone up. Let God work. Now, if it's a Christian, pray about it. Talk with them in love. Because the whole idea is restoration. You want to see them do well. And many times the way we talk, the way we speak is not correct. It's not done in love. I mean, just look around the room. A variety of us dressed in many different ways, right? Yeah. It doesn't make it wrong. We have to be careful. And, you know, Paul was talking about prayer in those opening verses of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Pray about it. Bring it before the Lord. Again, I don't think it's an issue here at Calvary, you know, because it's 40 degrees outside. But even in the summertime, I don't think it's a problem here at Calvary. Now, as we move on here in verses 11 and 12, I don't know if you have this in your Bible, but mine's whited out. I'm not sure why. This section deals with be submissive. And again, the problem with this is the way people read it, as we're going to see. Look at verse 11 here in 1 Timothy 2. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. What a male chauvinist pig that Paul was. Right? Look it. The darts are flying already. All I could say is, women, be silent. I'm just kidding. Now, here's the problem with this, and I'll explain what this is all about. But some feel, you know, we're in the 21st century, and we need to update the Bible to today's culture. Times have changed, obviously, and the role that women play has also changed. And I don't think that's right. I think there's problems with that. The focus here is be submissive. And again, very unpopular, very controversial, the role of women in the church. And it's because many have been swayed by the world's philosophies, which are constantly changing instead of listening to what God has said, who is unchanging. Now, I have to agree, the way that this verse is translated does seem to say that Paul was telling women that they are not to speak at all in the church. And some have used this verse like that. They told a woman to be quiet. Not a good thing and not a correct interpretation of this verse. He's still recovering in the hospital right now after that incident. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to try and explain it to you. There's a Greek word for silence, sigeo, which means just that. Women are to be silent, not speak. That's not the word that Paul used. See, there's the problem. He used the Greek word hysikia for silence, and it speaks of quietness, not unruly. Interestingly enough, it's the same Greek word used in verse 2 of 1 Timothy chapter 2, and it's translated there peaceably. What's the point? Paul's whole point is that women receive the teaching of men that God has chosen to lead the church, not trying to usurp the role or fight against it. It does not mean complete silence. Submission is the principle. To learn in silence describes the application of the principle. Apparently, some of the women in places like Ephesus and in Corinth had this issue of submission. There was a very strong feminist movement in those areas, and in these places, they were disrupting the church service by yelling out objections to what was being taught and maybe trying to insert themselves into the service as teachers. And keep in mind, in the early church, men sat on one side of the church and the woman on the other side. There was a separation. So if the pastor said something the wife didn't understand, she might yell, "Hey, honey, what does he mean by that?" Well, that's kind of disruptive. Think, well, that would never happen today. Well, we have everything here at Calvary. Years ago, there was a couple in the church. And I'd be teaching, and all of a sudden she'd be to her husband, who was sitting right next to her, what does he mean by that? Then he would tell her through the whole service. That is very hard to teach when someone's doing that. Did they get that correct? I don't know. Yeah, it went on, and it shouldn't go on. Write it down, ask later, or talk with the pastor, whatever. God is a God of order. And by their actions, Paul's coming against here, they were not submissive and causing disorder in the church service. In fact, the word submission, again, we don't like that word, right? Submission, I don't submit to anyone. It means to be under in rank, respecting and acknowledging order of authority. It doesn't mean that men, again, are more spiritual than women, are smarter than women, are better than women. Not at all. In fact, Warren Wiersbe said, anyone who has served in the armed forces knows that rank has to do with order and authority, not with value or ability. Just as an army would be in confusion if there were no levels of authority, so society would be in chaos without submission. There's an order, and men are the spiritual leaders in the church and in the family. But here are the objections, and they'll go right to the Bible. Paul in Galatians 3, verses 28 and 29. He said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It's speaking of spiritual equality, okay? But there's different roles within that, and that's the key. Men and women have different roles in the family, in the church, and we have to keep in mind that in this period of time that Paul was living, women were second-class citizens, if even that, and the Lord's lifting them up. And if there's still confusion, we see in verse 12, Paul interpreting for us what he means in verse 11. He said, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. He's not saying women can't teach in a church, but they cannot fill the office of a pastor teacher in the church. And it doesn't mean that women can't teach in church, but when they do, it has to be under the authority of the men that God has appointed to lead the church. Again, it's a big issue today. I'll share this article with you, and you'll see how Christians cloud the picture and ignore what the Bible is saying. They tend to get us not to trust what the scriptures are saying. And this is what the article said. Sadly, many women we talk to have been disrespected by Christian men in authority, especially in the local church context. Some years ago, Christy and I were leading a midweek seminar at a Bible church. Our topic was discipleship to Jesus and personal soul care. There were about 20 people attending. I opened our meeting with prayer, introduced our topic, and made some comments from the Bible. Then Christy shared her insights with a personal example. Right after she stood up to speak, a man abruptly got up from his chair and left the room in a fuss, shaking his head and muttering under his breath. As Christy continued speaking, the man's wife kept turning around to see if he was coming back. Soon she picked up her purse and left too. Later she contacted us. I'm sorry we left your talk. My husband believes it's not biblical for a woman to teach in church when men are present. This was quite demeaning of Christy and women in general, though I don't imagine that any of the church elders or pastors would have walked out on Christy. Their official church doctrine supports the belief behind doing that. They do not allow women pastors, elders, or preachers, teachers. They limit women to roles like pastor's wife. I don't know how you limit that role to a pastor's wife. It just happens to be because she's married to the pastor. But anyway, administrative staff, hostess, women's ministry leader, teacher of children, or deaconess. The elders are sincere and not intending to be sexist or disrespectful of women, but that's the effect they're having. We've heard from many women who have been discriminated against in church leadership. When a church doesn't welcome qualified women into leadership, it's damaging to the identity and dignity of women and girls, and it affects how they're treated by men and boys. Furthermore, it can damage the whole church or organization. Women bring spiritual depth, nurture, relational skill, integrative thinking, and tender courage that often are lacking in all male leadership groups. Women tend to be high in emotional intelligence, which is key to success in any endeavor, especially in ministry. In my experience of working with pastors and church leadership, the absence of qualified women at the leadership table has also contributed to unjust terminations of pastors, harmful church splits, and dysfunctional team dynamics. Typically, churches that hold women back from eldership or other leadership roles cite two controversial New Testament passages to support their view, 1 Corinthians 11:3 and 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12. But they take a narrow view on those verses and don't give adequate weight to a number of other scriptures that do support female leadership in the church and elsewhere. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12, Paul says, "A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent."
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.